Welcome to another edition of Police for Reform, the podcast for Law Enforcement Action Partnership. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have the executive director of LEAP. It's Major Neil Franklin joining us. Welcome back, Neil.
Russ, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
I couldn't have thought of a more perfect person to get on the show to address the most recent scandal that's taking place out of Baltimore, where the police department was caught not once but twice on body cams in what appears to be incidences of, at best, recreating evidence collecting of drugs, and at worst, planting evidence of drugs. And you worked in the Baltimore Police Department for a long time in education and training. So what is going on in Baltimore, Neil? What can we tell our listeners about this scandal?
Well, first, let me say that nowhere in our training or in our policies, and you're right, I was the head of training from 2000 to 2004 in the Baltimore Police Department. Not only in our training specific to the Baltimore Police Department, but in the Maryland Police Correctional Training Commission, which is the regulatory body for all training of police officers in the state of Maryland, there's nothing in their 700-plus objectives that has anything to do that instructs anyone on recreating the collection of evidence. It just doesn't exist, and it doesn't make sense, which therefore leaves this these two episodes very, very questionable. I think that they speak for themselves. This isn't the movies. You don't recreate evidence collection, because the importance of that, and these police officers know what the importance of evidence collection is, that it has to be articulated accurately, you have to speak to it truthfully, and you can't recreate something point for point for point for point. You're always going to miss something, omit something, or add something that could be extremely problematic when it comes to testifying in court. So it makes no sense. We don't teach it. We wouldn't dare teach it or instruct it or build any type of program around recreating the collection of any evidence.
And what's concerning about this is, after we saw what happened in Ferguson, we saw numerous cell phone cam incidences of police behaving badly, let's say. There was a lot of call for, hey, we need to have these body cams. We got to have body cams on the police so we can make sure that the interactions are being accurately recorded. But right. In these situations, we got cops that are turning the cams off, turning them on, using them to fabricate evidence. What can we do with body cams, or body cams not the solution? What do we do about this?
Well, it goes to show that there's, along with the good that comes from body cams, comes the bad. And, you know, despite these two occurrences, and I'm sure that there are probably more throughout the country, you know, the benefit of having body cams, so let's get that out right now. The benefit of having body cams greatly outweighs this type of activity by our police officers. You know, so what do we have to do? We go back to the drawing board. We look at policy. You know, we look at oversight. We look at accountability. And we start recreating policy. We start rewriting policy to fix these holes that we're seeing. As technology improves, I think we'll be able to solve some of that. As battery life improves, I think we'll be able to have these things running 24/7 in the background. And along with that, policy will change to deal with that. But we always have to be searching for solutions to problems like this. So I hope that no one's thinking that, well, let's get rid of the body cams because here we have problems. No, as I said before, the benefits greatly outweigh situations such as this. I mean, number one, we know that when people are wearing body cams, we know that when people are using their cell phones to record, you know what? People on both sides behave better. The cops behave better, and the citizens behave better. And then when things don't go as best as they possibly can, for the most part, we're collecting good evidence that can be used, that can be very useful in determining someone's guilt or innocence, and also in determining whether or not a police officer is using excessive force, whether they're being brutal, and in some cases that unfortunately result in the deaths of our citizens.
So with respect to these body cams having an off button, is this a technological limitation? You mentioned something about battery life and such, or are there political considerations, say police unions that don't want every minute of the day filmed or something?
Well, it's all the above. There is a technical aspect to it, limited battery life, but also from the political perspective, and also dealing with the privacy issues as well. I mean, many times police officers have to go into the homes of people, and the calls vary. And, you know, you need to be able to deactivate the recording. If you're in the home of a citizen, it could be a sexual assault case. It can be something involving some sensitive family matters and so on. So there should be some type of process for that. But all you need is accountability. All you need is the proper policy and accountability to deal with those situations. And then for the most part, they will record most of the time that they're being warned. The other political part regarding the union, yes, I mean, if I'm a cop, I got to relieve myself. There are things that I need to do that I really don't want recorded that are personal in nature also. I'm sure you don't want, I know I don't want to see it. I'm sure your listeners don't either.
Now, you mentioned accountability as well, and one of the things that gets frustrating for observers of these issues of police malfeasance, speaking of the Baltimore cops, they're on paid administrative leave, and the Washington Post recently came out with an investigative report showing how cops are fired and rehired many times by the same department because the police union appeals the firing, and there's some technicality that got missed. I mean, I think some people are worried that, you know, there's no way of tracking bad cops. There's if a bad cop's rooted out of one department, he goes and moves to some other county or some other state and gets another job. What do you think about that issue of accountability and holding these bad cops to account?
Yeah, so there are a couple key points here. Number one, in many of our states, not most, there's things such as the Police Officer's Bill of Rights. These are rights that have been afforded to law enforcement officers throughout the years because of improprieties at the managerial level. You know, if you don't like a particular person as a sergeant or lieutenant or commander, you know what? You put things in place, you get the wheels moving to get rid of them. A lot of that was also along the lines of race, where African-American police officers were being booted out of police departments with no protection. So here we now have Police Officers' Bill of Rights. And we also have union contracts in many of our police departments, that even go well beyond the Police Officer's Bill of Rights and the protections afforded there. And so when you have these very strong negotiated contracts, it's not only very difficult to get rid of the police officers, but there are also many windows, you know, for bringing them back if you don't cross your T's and dot your I's in the investigations and so on. You know, the other part of this on a national level that you mentioned, when police officers are terminated and they pop up somewhere else, either within state or out of state, there is a solution. There's a solution, Rush, for this. And, you know, right now, the police officers are insured by the cities and towns and states that they work for. Blanket policies cover their behavior, their negligence, and when the civil suits are filed, it's usually the department and the jurisdiction that has to foot the bill, the taxpayers. How about we have insurance? Each police officer carries their own malpractice insurance, just like doctors do, similar to that. So now the police departments can pay the basic premium. But any rise in premiums because of, you know, like you have an accident with your car, what happens to your policy? Your premium goes up, right? So rises will be borne by the police officer. And you know what? If you have too many lawsuits, or maybe one is even enough if it's severe enough, then that insurance company drops you. Now, if you can't get insurance as a police officer anywhere in the country because of your record, because of your, you know, your brutality and your excessive force complaints, then you know what? You can't be a police officer because you can't get insured. This is the kind of thinking that we need. I'm not saying that this would work, but have we ever looked at it? I don't think so. I haven't seen anyone try it. We just need to start thinking out of the box. We need to have databases that track police officers who have been terminated from police departments, so that when you do fill out an application for another police department across the country, pops up, there's a red flag. Well, let's do an investigation. We see that you have problems in this department. You were terminated from that, so we got to dig. It's all it takes. It doesn't take a lot, but we just haven't gotten to that point yet. We have, you know, the Fraternal Order of Police, and we have other police unions across the country to make it difficult for us to move in this type of direction. Just common sense.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is something I'm really happy to hear about and glad that Law Enforcement Action Partnership is bringing this to the fore. Let's give some information to our listeners out there if they want to get involved with this reforming of our police and leading this popular charge by the people to try to come up with some sort of accountability. Can you give them some resources they could use?
Absolutely. Well, the first one they can go to is our website. It's lawenforcementaction.org. Go to lawenforcementaction.org, and you'll see the different silos that we have there. And a lot of what we're talking about here on this show, Russ, is dealing with our first silo, police community relations. Obviously, when we have problems like this, it is a great detriment to building positive relationships between police and community, which then lead to other things and other problems in society. So we have to solve for these things so that we can improve those relationships between police and community, deal with some of the disparity issues that we have across the country. And at the end of the day, the goal is, and let me just make something perfectly clear. LEAP, the Law Enforcement Action Partnership, we are pro-police. We are pro-citizens. We are pro the profession. We want things to be professional. We want strong relationships between police and community. We want the community and the police to be one, not something that you have to build a bridge between. They should be one. And that's the reason we do this work, among others. But that's one of the main reasons we do this work. We want the police to be held accountable. We believe we are cops. Russ, we are cops, yeah. We are judges, we are prosecutors, and we want our profession to be just that, extremely professional and one with the community. And you know what? We have to identify not just the systemic problems that we're dealing with, such as the war on drugs, all right? But we also have to identify and remove those problem police officers, problem commanders. And you know what? From time to time, you might have to redo a whole police department if it's that corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Major Neil Franklin is the executive director of Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Check him out at lawenforcementaction.com and get more information today. Neil, thanks for joining us again. And I hope the news that we get out of Baltimore next time is much brighter.
Thanks a lot, Russ. And thanks for having me on board. Things will improve in Baltimore. Just keep an eye on us.